Today, here in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Mem Dalet. I'm dictating this on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Many people will be listening to this, obviously, during the Aseres Mei Tshuva, and I wanted to wish everybody a good Geben Shtyar. Everybody should have a Kesiva, a Chasima Tova. Yetz Hashem, we should be Zolcha to continue to learn the Daf together for many, many, many cycles to come. Okay, let us begin. We're on Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, about 17, 18 lines down from the top, reminding ourselves that yesterday we had a machlokes as to how to understand a machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda. And we had two opinions, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. The opinion of Reish Lakish was that there is no distinction between Kiddushin or Gerishin in the Shita of the Chachamim. They hold that both the father and the Nara could accept the Kiddushin and the Gerishin for herself, as opposed to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda was that only the father could accept the Kiddushin and the Gerishin. That was Reish Lakish straight across the board. As we'll see, his decision-making was because of the famous Hekish, the Yotza of Ahayisa in the Pasuk. He says they're exactly the same. Gerishin and Kiddushin are the same, and according to the Tanakhama, the Chachamim, there is no distinction. Both the father and the daughter can accept the Kiddushin, both the father and the daughter can accept the Gerishin, and Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is no, only the father can, in both situations, accept the Gerishin or the Kiddushin. That's Reish Lakish's Shita, straightforward. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, there's a distinction. The Chachamim hold that by Gerishin, both the father and the daughter could accept their Gerishin. However, by Kiddushin, even the opinion of the Chachamim, they are molded to Rabbi Yehuda that only the father can go accept the Kiddushin. And yesterday we had this discussion in more detail, and today we pick up, again, 17, 18 lines on the top of Mem Dalet Amud Aleph with the Gemara's point that Hochanami Mistabro Kiddharit Rabbi Yochanan. That Rabbi Yochanan's opinion makes more sense because if you keep on reading the Brisa that we brought down yesterday, Midiktani Seif, it said at the end of that Brisa, that's the words in brackets you see on the third line over here, which we skipped yesterday. I said they really weren't appropriate for where they were yesterday, but they were true, but they weren't to be learned over there because now we're learning them now. Those bracketed words on the third line of Mimdavla Mav, the continuation of the Brisa, Masha Ein came Biki. Kiddushin, as opposed to, it doesn't apply to Kiddushin. So clearly, the author of this Brisa says that there's a distinction between the father and the Nara being able to accept Gerushin, as opposed to, by Kiddushin, you can have both the father and the daughter accepting Kiddushin. So Gemara says, this sounds like it's a perfectly good raya to Rav Yochanan. So Elo Nema to have a tiyuf to the Reish Lakish. Why isn't it also a kasha Reish Lakish? Because Reish Lakish would answer, I'm a Reish Lakish, Hamani, who's this opinion of this Brisa Rehudi? This is all Rav Yehuda. And we know that Rav Yehuda holds only the father can accept both the Gerushin and the Kiddushin, and therefore the Amar, Ein Shtei Yodayim Zochos Biachas. Kiachas, he says that you can't have both the father and the daughter accepted. Only one of them can, and therefore she's in the domain of her father as a Nara, so therefore only the father can accept both her Gerushin or her Kiddushin on her behalf. So the more questions, it says, if you're telling me that this Bryce is Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, so then Masha Ein came be Kiddushin, Masha Ein came be Gerushin, Mibaylei. Instead of saying this isn't true by Kiddushin, the more correct way to have phrased it would have been Masha Ein came be Gerushin. That this isn't true by Gerushin. Let's go to the very top of the Omud and remind ourselves what the Brisa said. The Brisa said, "Ketana min ha'erisin einosim b'maimer." If a girl who was married off as a ketana and then Nebuch, her husband, passed away, so there is no din of maimer for her. Ella midas aviyah, unless her father, so to say, accepts the maimer on her behalf. As opposed to a Nara in that situation, who Nebuch, her husband, dies and she falls to Yibam, she can, be'midas atzma, be'midas aviyah, go and accept the maimer. And now, Masha Ein can be Kiddushin, as opposed to that by Kiddushin she can't. Now, it should have said, as opposed to by Gerushin that she can, because it's a bigger Chiddush, according to Rabbi Yehuda, to say that by Gerushin that she can't accept it than by Kiddushin, because Gerushin is Baal Karcha, and nevertheless, he says that she can't accept it. So therefore, that's what it should have said. So he says, you're right, and Hanami, that's the correct understanding. But however, I did the Tana Maimer, the Domele Kiddushin, since we mentioned about Maimer, which is similar to Kiddushin, so that's why we phrased it, Tana Nami, Masha Ein came be Kiddushin. That's why he said, Masha Ein came be Kiddushin. Of course, it's also though, Masha Ein came be Gerushin as well. But therefore, he used the Lashon of Kiddushin because we were talking about Maimer. Now the Gemara says, the Rabbi Yehuda, Maishna Maimer, so then why does Rabbi Yehuda say that the Nara can accept Maimer, but she can't accept Kiddushin or Gerushin? So what's the reasoning? So the Gemara says, Hoel Uzkuka the Yomedes. This woman has fallen mid the Araisa to her Yavam. The Din of Yibam is the Din Daraisa. So it's not that she has no status, so to say, with that Yavam. She is, in fact, falling to him on a deraisa level. And therefore, with her accepting Maimer, it doesn't change anything. She's not in the domain of her father. She really is in the domain of the Yavam. So her accepting Maimer doesn't change anything. And that's why Rav Yehuda says, in this situation, the Nara can accept Maimer, even though she can't accept Kiddushin, and she can't accept Gerushin. Now the Gemara says, now that you're giving us this answer, Hashadiosis Lahachi, so this could have answered the question that we asked yesterday, Rav Yochanan Ami, Lo Tikshi Lo Mikara. The question was, why would Rav Yochanan say that there's a difference between Gerushin and Kiddushin? So, Shiny Maimer, Hoel Uskuk of Yamedis. The reason why the Chachamim, according to Rav Yochanan, would have a distinction between Kiddushin and Gerushin is again because Maimer is different, because she falls in Yibum to the Yavam, and therefore there's already a connection, and therefore that's why the Nara can go and accept the Maimer, even though according to Rav Yochanan, the Chacham would say that she can't accept the Kiddushin. Okay, now the Gemara says, Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah at the beginning of this parak that it said, Oish Mekadesh is Bito Kishi Nara, Bo Ubishlucho, that a father can go and be Mekadesh off his daughter when she's a Nara, either himself or via shliach. Now, bo ubishlucho in, by himself or with the shliach, yes. However, she, bo ubishlucho lo. But the Mishnah essentially is implying that she cannot go accept the Kiddushin by herself, not only not with her shliach, but even not herself. Now, this is exactly like Rav Yochanan and Tiyufta, the Reish Lakish. Here we have another kasha against Reish Lakish from our Mishnah. And Reish Lakish gives the same answer he just gave a moment ago for the Braisa. Amaluch Reish Lakish, Hanami Rav Yehudi. The Braisa that we brought down, as well as our Mishnah, is the opinion of Rav Yehuda. And we know that Rav Yehuda says that the Nara can't accept Kiddushin. The Chachamim say that she can't accept Kiddushin according to Reish Lakish, but Rav Yehuda doesn't. So therefore, our Mishnah is Rav Yehuda. More questions. It says, really? Umi Matzis Mukbis Law Ki Rav Yehuda? Are you able to go and understand the Mishnah to be the authorship of Rav Yehuda? Voktani Sefer. But keep on reading our Mishnah. Now, it's not in our Mishnah that we already read. This is actually found later on Daf Mem Vav and Aleph. But often, as we find, the Gemara calls Reisha and Sefer, even though they're not physically connected, but it's one idea, it's one Mishnah, and therefore they're combined. So we're going to learn in an upcoming Shia, 2 days, Mem Vav and Aleph, it says over there, the quote Sefer of our Mishnah starting the Perek, for Ketani Sefer, it says over there, Omer Leisha, if a man says to a woman, Hiskachili Betamrazu, and then he says, Hiskachili Bezu. So a man says to a woman, I want you to become Mekudeshes to me with this date, with this tomorrow. And he then says, I want you to become Mekudeshes to me with this date, a second date. So it says in the Gemara, Yamrinun, Man Tana Hiskachi Hiskachi. Who is this Tana that says that if either of those two has a Shava Pruta, she's Mekudeshes. Each one is considered a separate act of Kiddushin as long as one of the two, if the first one had it, then she's Mekudeshes after the first one. If the first one didn't have it, but the second one had a Shava Pruta, so then she's Mekudeshes after the second one. The first one wasn't sufficient to be Mekudeshes to her, but each is a separate act. We don't combine them together. So Man Tana Hiskachi Hiskachi, who's the author over here of the Sefer of this Mishnah, which states, if you say Hiskachi, and then you say Hiskachi, it's two separate acts of Kiddushin. Each one is viewed independently. And therefore, the Shava Pruta, she's Mekudeshes. Who is the author of this Mishnah? Mantana Hiskachi Hiskachi. Omar Rabba, Rabbi Shimoni. So Rabba had said that this is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Now, if this is the Sefer of our Mishnah, so then you're telling me Rabbi Shimon is the author of the Sefer, who says, the Omar Achi Omar Shua L'Cholech of Yechad. How do we know that that's Rabbi Shimon? Because in the terms of a person being chayav a carbon for denying a pikadon, so Rabbi Shimon Shita was that, let's say, five people came to him with a pikadon and he denied all of them. So if he denied all of them with one fell swoop, he says, no, I swear I didn't have the pikadon of any of you, said he would only bring one carbon. Rabbi Shimon says, if he says, a shvua that I denied you, a shvua that I denied you, a shvua that I denied you, then he would be chayav l'chol echa v'yechad. So Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that each one is a separate act. So if he says, hiskachli bezu, and then he says, hiskachli bezu, so then each one is a separate act, and we view them each independently. So Rabbi Shimon, therefore, is the author of the Sefer. If Rabbi Shimon is the author of the Sefer, Mistama, Rabbi Shimon is the author of the Reisha. So how can you tell me Rabbi Yehuda is the author of the Reisha? Rabbi Shimon is the author of the Reisha. So Gemara says, you're going to tell me that the Chitem Okula Rabbi Yehuda? No, that the authorship is actually Rabbi Yehuda in the Reisha, and he holds like Rabbi Shimon in the Sefer. And therefore, the Sefer, while it's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, it's also the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And in this regard, in this din of Hiskachli, so he holds like Rabbi Shimon. But that's not true. Because in fact, Umi Savelo, who says that Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Shimon, in fact, we have a Brisa that says that they have a machlokas, they disagree in this din. But Tani, because we learned in the following Brisa, Zekal, this is the rule in terms of a person who was, five people came to him and said, we dropped off this pikadon with you, and he swore that he did not, and therefore he has to go, and afterwards bring a shuas ha-pikadon. So in this situation, when he swore falsely, so if he said, klal, he denied them all in one fell swoop, enu chayv elachas. Then that's one shvua that he made, and therefore he's only going to be chayv one carbon. So in this situation, he made a general statement. So that was, he was kalal, so enu chayv elachas. However, parat, if he said each one, then chayv al kolachas yach. He said, I don't know you, I don't know you, I don't know you, I don't know you. So then he would be chayv five times. Even though he didn't say shvua five times, he just said a shvua that I don't know you, 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 and you. In that situation, he would have to bring five korbanos. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, shvua, if he said shvua at the front, lo lecha, lo lecha, lo lecha, without saying the word and in between, so then also, chayev al kol achas v'yachas. So, in the situation where Rabbi Meir said, I make a shvua to you, and to you, and to you, so then Rabbi Meir says, yechayev for each and every one. Rabbi Yehuda says, even if you didn't say the word and in between, shvua, lo lecha, lo lecha, lo lecha, then he'd be chayev for each one. Now, Rabbi Yehuda says, even though he didn't say shvua in front of each one, so he's still chayev al kol achas v'yachas. Rabbi Elezer Omer, lo lecha, lo lecha, lo lecha, v'lo lecha, shvua. And he puts the shvua at the end, so then you'd be chayav al kol achas v'yachas. But if you put shvua at the beginning, you wouldn't be chayav on all of them. So at the end, it encompasses each one separately, and in that situation, only would Rabbi Elezer say you chayav a separate carbon for each one. So now we introduce the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Omer, li olam. Eino chayav, I show my shvua l'kol achav v'yachas. He has to say shvua lo lecha, shvua lo lecha, shvua lo lecha. Only then would be chayav five. So clearly, you see that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon don't have the same opinion. So therefore, how can you tell me that the entire Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda and he holds like Rabbi Shimon? He doesn't hold like Rabbi Shimon. So that can't be the teretz. So the Gemara says, no, elukul Rabbi Shimon. In fact, the entire Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon. Yes, the first part is also the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. So ubi shlichus sava like Rabbi Yehuda. In regards to the first part of the Mishnah, he agrees with Rabbi Yehuda. In regards to the second part, he has the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda. But the authorship of the Mishnah is all Rabbi Shimon, and therefore it's no problem. It's not a kasha on Reish Lakish, because he could say that the authorship of our Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon, which happens to be the shita of Rabbi Yehuda for our Mishnah, and therefore that's why Reish Lakish says it. But the Chachamim disagree, and therefore the Chachamim have an opinion that the Naro can accept both Gerushin and Kiddushin. Okay. Now the Gemara says, this machlokes between Rabbi Shimon, Reish Lakish, and Rabbi Yochanan, Rav Asi, lo all the Bay Midrasha. One day, Rav Asi wasn't able to go to the shir. Rav Asi was a star pupil of Rav Yochanan. We had throughout Shas, Rav Ami or Rav Asi that say over the name Rav Yochanan. In any event, so he missed the shir one day. So Ashkel Rabbi Zeira, he found Rabbi Zeira, and Amalei, he asked Rabbi Zeira, nu, my Omer ha'idna Bay Midrasha. Nu, what was the shir about today in the Beis Medrash? And unfortunately, Rabbi Zeira wasn't there. Amalei, Avanila oil. I wasn't also able to go and make it to the shir today. So, however, while Analo oil, Rabbi Ovin hud oil, I heard that Rabbi Ovin went to the shir, and he said, V'yomar, Chavrusa kulak Rabbi Yochanan. When this question in the Beis Medrash was discussed, how do we learn the machlokas between the Tanakam and the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda, and we had Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, and we had Reish Lakish's opinion, and everybody, all the Chavrusa, the whole Tamidei Chachamim, they paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Shlokish was very upset about this. Vitzavach Reish Lakish, he screamed, and he said, ki kruchya, like a kruchya. Rashi explains a kruchya is a certain type of a bird, augur, and in Yeshaya, Rashi says this is like kisus augur, which means like a crane or like a swallow, and the Aro says it's a certain bird like a raven. In any event, he was yelling and saying, hey, how can you paskin like Rabbi Yochanan? We have the famous Hekish, V'yatsa V'haisa, that she will leave her first husband, she'll get divorced, and then V'haisa, she's allowed to go marry to a second husband. Now, this is the famous Hekish that compares Gittin and Kiddushin, and therefore, the Chachamim who hold that Gittin can be accepted by the Nara as well as the father hold that the Nara as well as the father can accept Kiddushin. And therefore, how can you say that there's a distinction that the Chacham, like Rav Yochanan, hold that by Gerushin, yes, the Nara can accept it along with the father. Either one can accept it, but by Kiddushin, only the father and not the Nara. Doesn't make any sense. The odds of a Haitz or Reish Lakish. He was screaming, how can you paskin against me? I have the Hekish on my side. However, the Lekka, the Ashkach Bey, nobody listened to him. And in fact, the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan, always over Reish Lakish, except in three cases. And this is one of those three cases. So therefore, it's Gabaskin like Rabbi Yochanan, even though Reish Lakish has a very strong taina. Now, when Rav Asi heard this from Rav Zeira, he said, is Rabbi Ovin trustworthy? Rabbi Ovin bar Samchahu? Is Rabbi Ovin reliable that this is actually what happened in the Beis Medrash? So Rav Zeira said, absolutely. Amalei, yes. Ain. Absolutely. Kimin Yama Letignehu. Now there's two understandings of what this means, Kimin Yama Letignehu. So Rashi, and we'll see the Rashi inside the bottom Tosus, because Tosus quotes the Rashi, then we'll go straight to the Tosus, the short Tosus. So in the last Tosus on the Daf, Kimin Yama Letigne, he says Pirush Kunjus, Rashi's opinion is Loisa shows Shikha Bentayim. There wasn't enough time from the hearing the Shir in the Beis Medrash till the time that he spoke with Ravasi for him to have made a mistake. Kimo shola dogim in hayom. It's like somebody who goes and casts a net into the water and catches fish. V'amachavas nesuna alor, and the frying pan's already on the fryer. And lesita and besochet, he puts the fish right in there. B'shem and letagma, with the oil to go and fry it. So it's impossible now for that to happen. So too, Rashi says that he heard the shir, Rabbi Ovin heard the shir, and he immediately told it over to Rabbi Zeira. And Rabbi Zeira told it over to Ravasi right away. So therefore, there's no chance that Rabbi Yovan could have made a mistake. That's the way Rashi understands this. Rabbi Nuchanadol has a slightly different interpretation. He's Pirish, the Shnei Makomusheim. There are two places, one called Yama and one called Tigne. And these two places are very near each other. Ukrovim Zelizeh, Kolome, meaning to say, Ein Odom Ishaker Kiai Gavda. Nobody in their right mind would want to ever be proven a liar. So therefore, these two places are close enough that if he were to say something over here, but the people in Tigne know that it's not true, they're going to come back and forth. Kiva Demokum Karufu, since it's nearby, Savar E Mishakrona Osi Inishakrina Umachashieni. He says, listen, I'm not going to tell a lie over here because there are plenty of people in Tigni who heard me say this. So even if I say it in Yama, there are people in Tigni come by all the time. It's very close. So I wouldn't ever take the chance of saying something wrong because the people in Tigni, intentionally something wrong, because the people in Tigni would find out about it and they would go and say, I'm a shocker. So therefore, Rabbi Ovin couldn't have made a mistake over here because it was so close. So therefore, it was, in fact, impossible for him to have made a mistake in this situation because there are people around and he never would have intentionally said this wrong. Okay, bottom line is that Rabbi Ovin was reliable. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Rav Nachman Yitzchak said, Ana lo Rabbi Ovin bar Rabbi Chia, v'lo Rabbi Ovin bar Kahana. When this was said over, I didn't hear that it was said over in the name of Rabbi Ovin, who was the son of Rabbi Chia, or that it was said over by Rabbi Ovin, who was the son of Rav Kahana, El Rabbi Ovin Stam. It was Stam Rabbi Ovin. I don't know who that Rabbi Ovin is. It wasn't the two more well-known Rabbi Ovins, Rabbi Ovin Bar Chia, or Rabbi Ovin Bar Kahana. No, why do we care about that? No, so whichever Rabbi Ovin it was. Line of Gemina. Gemara says, no, L'mirma Didei Adidei, because if we hear another member from Rabbi Ovin, so we want to know, does he contradict the previous member of Rabbi Ovin that he had said? So therefore, we always want to attribute the opinions to the right person. So therefore, we can see if there's any steer in his opinion, any mutually contradictory statements, because if he said this, he couldn't have said that. So therefore, it's important for us to know who the authorship is. Okay. Now the Gemara says, B'ayminei Rabbi Rav Nachman, Rabbi asked Rav Nachman, the following shaylah, return to Mem Dalet Omid Beis, Nara, a young girl between the age of 12 and 12 and a half, Ma'u Shetaseh Shaliach L'Kabal Gita Miyad Bala. Is she able to go and make a shaliach to go and get from her husband? Everybody agrees that the Chachamim's opinion is, even Rav Yochanan says, that the Chachamim hold that a Nara can go and accept her own get. So once she can go and accept her own get, is she able to make a shaliach to accept the get on her behalf? What are the two possibilities, two sides to the coin? Do we say, kiyad or viodamya? How is a Nara allowed to go and accept get on her behalf according to the Chachamim? It's because she is considered like a yad of her father. Her father can certainly accept her get, so she's acting as a function, so to say, a yad of her father, and therefore she can accept the get. Or do we say no? Okichatzer avia damio, or she acting as the courtyard of her father, and then she can't make a shliach, as the Gemara now explains. If she's functioning kiyad avia damio, so she's acting as a yad of her father, so ma avia mashvi shliach, afi nami mashvi shliach. Just like her father can appoint the shliach to go and accept the get on his behalf for his daughter, so too she can go and accept as, so to say, a shaliach of her father. If she's functioning as a shaliach of her father, kiyad aviyah, so just like her father can make a shaliach, so too she can make a shaliach. And therefore she could make a shaliach. The Nara could make a shaliach l'kabal gita miyad bala. Or do we say, no, odilma kichatzer of yodamya. She's actually functioning like a courtyard of her father. And if it's a courtyard, the ad demotcha gita liyada lo migarsha. And then in that situation, she can't appoint a shaliach because a courtyard, so to say, can't appoint a shaliach. So therefore, she can only function to get the get, but she can't appoint a shaliach to go and give the get to the shaliach on her behalf. Now, Umi Besafka Leila Rava Ha, was this really Rava's question that he asked to Rav Nachman? That can't be, because we know Vama Rava, Rava said, Kasav Ged, if a husband writes a get never for his wife, Unisono Biyat Avda, Yoshein, and he gives it to her servant, but that servant is sleeping. And the Mefarshim explain in this situation as well that he's tied up. U misham raso, and the wife is over there. Since he's tied up, she's watching over him. So then it's as if the get's already in her possession. It's like her chotzer. Her is their get, and this is a valid accepting of the get by giving to her sleeping Eved, who she's watching, who is tied up, and therefore he has no, so to say, das of his own, and he's functioning as her courtyard. However, Neyar, if this Eved is up and awake, so then Eino get, because he's not considered Mishtamer. Now, Neyar, am I Eino get? The Gemara asks this and says, why, if he's awake, is it not considered a get? Why is it not considered a courtyard? And a courtyard can accept the get. Because the Gemara says, "Da'abi lechotzer mishtameris shelo ledaita." Because yes, he's in control of what he does, not she, and therefore he is considered a chotzer that is not mishtameris. She's not mishtameris him. He's mishtamer himself, and therefore he can't go and function as a courtyard in that situation. Now, here's the question: if you're telling me that the girl, the nara, is an extension, is a courtyard of her father, so then. So too, even if the get comes into her hand, she shouldn't be considered divorced yet because she's only functioning as a courtyard of her father. But since she's a separate individual, she has her own das, in that situation, her father can't be considered that this is a courtyard that is mishtamer. So the habi lo chotzer mishtamer is shalola da'asaviyah. And therefore, the get shouldn't work by giving it to her until she goes and gives it to her father. And then, when her father gets it, he's accepting on her behalf. So since that clearly wasn't Rava's shaila, Rava knew that. So therefore, what did Rava ask Rav Nachman? So Gemara says, Elali olam pshitalei d'chiyad aviyadamya. Rava, when he asked Rav Nachman the question, this was his question. He said, I know that the daughter is functioning as the yad of the father. And since the father can go and make a shliach, the question is, can the daughter also go and make a shliach? What are the two sides of the coin over here? This is what Rava asked to Rav Nachman. Mi alima kiyad aviyah. Is she considered as strong as the hand of her father, l'shavi ish shliach, that she should be able to go and make a shliach as well? Although, or not, maybe, yes, she's functioning as a shliach of her father, but not so much strong so that she could go make a shliach herself. And Rav Nachman answered Rav, and he said, Amalei, ain't also shliach. You're 100% right. The second way that you learned it is correct. She isn't strong enough, so to say, to go and make a shliach herself. Yes, she's the yad of her father, but not to the point that she can go make a shliach as well like her father could. No, she can act as a yad of her father, so as soon as she gets the get, she is megureshes, but she can't go and appoint a shliach. That's the opinion of Rav Nachman. More questions. This says, really? Eisvei. But we have a Mishnah in Gittin that seems to say otherwise. Rav Nachman's an Amora. He can't argue with the Mishnah. And the Mishnah in Gittin says, Kitana she'omra, if a young girl was married, and she says, Hiskabali Gitti, and she says to somebody, go and accept the get on my behalf. Now, a Kitana, by definition, can't make a shliach. But she did. She physically appointed this person to go and accept her get. So he now takes the get, and what is the halachic status of this girl? Is she divorced or not? So, ain't no get. The Mishnah in Gittin tells us that it's not considered a valid get. Ad sheyagia get liyoda, until the get comes into her hands. Since she can accept the get herself, so since it's given bal karka, even a katana who has enough das to know what the get means, so she can accept the get herself, but she cannot appoint a shliach. So the Mishnah there says that it's not a get until the get comes into her hands, even though the shaliach got the get, it's not considered that he's acting as a shaliach on her behalf. He's actually acting as a shaliach on behalf of the husband. When the husband gives it to him, the husband is essentially appointing him to be the shaliach, to give the get to his wife, who is a ketana. And only when she gets it, shegia get liyoda, is she divorced. Now, the implication is, that's by a ketana. Implication, her nara, if she had been a nara that we're talking about, not ketana shor miskabali giti, but nara shor miskabali giti, that would be a valid get, hareza a get. That goes against what Rav Nachman said. Rav Nachman just said, ain't osa shaliach, the Nara can't make a shliach, but the Mishnah Gittin seems to imply that the Nara can make a shlichus. Shmuel says, no. Hachem Ayaskina, you know what the case in Gittin is talking about? Bishain la'av. She doesn't have a father. Everybody agrees if she doesn't have a father, then she can accept the get on her own behalf, and she can make a shliach to accept the get. She's a gedola. She's above the age of bas mitzvah, so she's the ability to go make a shliach, and here she's not functioning as yad aviha. Her father Nebuch has passed away. So therefore, she's functioning in her own domain, and therefore she can make a shliach for herself. And that's how Rav Nachman would explain the difference between the Mishnah and Gittin. It says a Nara can go and make a shliach, and Rav Nachman's opinion that if the father's alive, the Nara cannot make a shlichus. Now, Gemara questions this and says, but keep on reading that Mishnah. Ami Diktani Seifa, that Mishnah in Gittin continues and says, Im Amar Aviha, if the father said, say, the Kabo Git Lebiti, if the father made a shliach to somebody and said, go and accept this get on behalf of me for my daughter, so then, Im Ratzo Baal Achsa Bolu Yachsa, so as soon as this person who's the shliach got the get, so then that's it. The woman is divorced. Lo yachzar. The husband can't retract, even though the get hasn't come into his possession or to his daughter's possession. Lo yachzar. Implication being, Michlal de Reisha is also with the Yeshlo Avaskina. They were talking in the Reisha. The Seif is talking about that there's a father, but some of the Reisha is talking about there's a father. So how can you tell me, how come I askina b'shein lo av? So we're slugging up the attempt that we had to reconcile Rav Nachman with the Mishnah in Gittin. Shmuel says, no, still not slugging it up. This is the way you have to read the Mishnah in Gittin. It's a chesura mechzer v'achitani. It's missing certain pieces. And this is the way you have to read the Mishnah. The entire Mishnah goes as follows. Kitano shomer iskabel igiti. If a kitano went and made somebody a shliach, which she cannot do, and made a shliach for her to accept the get on her behalf, so even though he then accepts the get, it doesn't work, you know, get actually get liyoda. It doesn't become a valid get until she gets into her hands, because this person who she made a shliach is not functioning as her shliach. He's functioning as a shliach from the husband who gave him the get to give to her. And only when she gets it, because she can't make a shliach, so only when she gets it is the get valid. Now, that implication is her nara raise a get, but a nara could make it. But under what circumstances can a nara make it? Only kishen la'av, only if she doesn't have a father, then the Naira is not considered the yad of Aviyah. She's a separate entity herself, and she can make shlichus because she's a gedola. That's only when she doesn't have a father, kishen la'av. However, avo yesh la'av, if she does have a father, so then Rav Nachman's din is correct. Avo yesh la'av, v'yomer Aviyah, tzei v'kabel l'biti gita, her father can make a shliach, b'rotz about lachzer lo yachzer. Her father, once he establishes this person as a shliach, so that person who gets the get, now the woman is divorced, the father can't retract. But if the father is alive, Rav Nachman's din is correct, then the Nara can't go make a shliach, because she's functioning as Yad Aviyah, and Rav Nachman Paskin, if she's functioning as Yad Aviyah, she's not Alima, she's not strong enough to go and make a shlichus. She can accept it, but she can't go and make a shlichus. Okay. Gemara now says, Itmar, Kitano Shineskat Shishlod Las Aviyah. What happens if a young girl accepts Kiddushin? She's a Kitana, and she accepted Kiddushin without the knowledge of her father. Now, the Katana's actions are not halachically taking effect. So therefore, the woman is clearly not married. However, it was said over by Shmuel, Amar Shmuel, Tzricha get. This girl needs a get, Utzricha miyun. And not only does she need a get, she also needs to do miyun. Miyun is when you have a derabbanan marriage, and the girl is married off by her mother or her older brother, her father's dead, Nebuch, and they marry her off, and she can walk out of that marriage before she's a gedola, before she becomes a nara, so she can walk away from that marriage without requiring a get. All she has to do is protest to do miyun, a formal process called miyun. And in this situation that we're talking here, where the ketana accepted her own kiddushin, she needs a get and she needs miyun. Now, this seems to be intrinsically contradictory, which is now what Karna says. Amar Karna, Karna says, how can that possibly be? Darim bego. It's mutually contradictory over here. Im get, if she does require a get, because you choshesh that maybe this is a real kiddushin, so then, lo mamiyin, then if it's a real kiddushin, so how can she walk away without a get? How can miyin work? And if you're telling me she needs miyin because it's not really a valid kiddushin, so then lo maget, then why does she need a get? When you do miyin, you don't need a get. And if you need a get, miyin doesn't work. So that's what Karna said. I don't understand Shmuel. So amrule, so they told Karna, let's go ask Marukva. Ha Marukva Ubeidine beKafre. The city of Kafre is right nearby. Let's go ask Marukva. He's the head of the Beis Din in that town. So let's go and ask Marukva. He's a Talmud of Shmuel and Mistama. He'll know what Shmuel's opinion was. Now, they don't go and ask Marukva. Instead, they send it to Rav. The Rashash says, why didn't they send it to Marukva? So Rashash suggests that Marukva was a star pupil of Shmuel, and if he had heard this in the name of Shmuel and it wasn't correct, he would have objected. So therefore, the fact that he didn't object, so they felt that Mistama, this din of Shmuel is correct. However, let us go and therefore ask Rav and see what Rav says. The Rashash says that they wanted to ask Rav because they knew he also was very friendly with Shmuel, and therefore they wanted to see if he would agree with Shmuel or not. But if they told him Shmuel's real opinion, they felt that he might just agree with Shmuel. So they flipped around the sheetahs to see what Rav really held. So some therefore say that they flipped it intentionally, and they said that it was Karna who said that you need to both get and you need miyun, and it was Shmuel that said, Dvarim Bago, how could this possibly be? If you need to get, Why would you need miyun? If you need miyun, why would you need a get? So they flipped around the shitas. So some suggest that they did this intentionally because they wanted to see what Rav's real opinion was. They didn't want it to say whatever Shmuel said is fine. So therefore, they flipped around the shitas to see if he would argue with Shmuel, and then we would see what Rav's real opinion was. Others say, no, it was by mistake. There was no reason to think that Rav would paskin automatically like Shmuel, but somehow it got flipped around. And therefore, they presented Shmuel's shita as Karna's statement, and Karna's statement as Shmuel's shita. So, the bottom line is, it came to Rav with the shita's muchlefes. And Amar Lahu, so Rav told them, when they asked him, how do you paskin? He says, Halukim, tzricha get or tzricha min. Of course you need both. You need a get and you need miyun. Now, they told him that Karna was the one that said it, and Shmuel questioned it. So therefore, he said, and how could it possibly be to the Zera of Avua de Shmuel? Abba bar Abba was the father of Shmuel's name. That's why it's called Avua de Shmuel. Abba bar Abba was his name. And Rav said, how could it possibly be, impossible, that the Zera of Avua de Shmuel, Abba bar Abba, in other words, it's impossible that Shmuel would say this incorrectly, the name of Hachi. You must be wrong. There's no way that Shmuel said that im miyun lama get, im get lama miyun. No, Shmuel would never have said that. Shmuel would have agreed that you need both miyun and a get. Now, why? Now, obviously, Rav and Shmuel both held the same thing. Why? The time of mind. It really, Karina's question is a good question. Im get lama miyun. If you require a get, that has miyun work. And if you only require miyun, then why would you need a get? So, time of life. Why did they require both? Both Rav and Shmuel required both get and miyun in this case, where the Ketana accepted Kiddushin on her own behalf. Now, Amar Ravacha Berei Deravika, Ravacha Berei Deravika explained, because Tzricha get, the reason why they required a get is because Shemo Nisratzo Abi Kiddushin. Because you know what? The Ketana can't accept Kiddushin on her own, but let's say her father wanted that Kiddushin. So then the father really is saying, yes, I accept this Kiddushin, and the woman therefore is really married, even though she's a Ketana. And therefore, in order to make sure that maybe there's a chashash that the father would have wanted the kiddushin and the girl is really married, so therefore we require a get in order for her to go marry somebody else. Why should he miyun? Tzricha miyun, because maybe shem alonis ratza abi kiddushin. Because in fact, the father did want the kiddushin and this girl was never married. And now, what are people going to say to Yomru? And kiddushin tosin b'chachosa. And people are going to say, guess what? Since she over here wasn't really married, so therefore that person who gave her Kiddushin could actually go and marry her sister. And then when he gives Kiddushin to that sister, she really would be married to that sister. However, people are going to mistakenly say, V'yomru, you know what people are going to say? Nah, ain't Kiddushin tovsin b'achosa, because he was married to the sister. That Kiddushin that she was as a Ketana, maybe the father really wanted it. And therefore, she really was married, and therefore, if one sister received Kiddushin, the Kiddushin can't be chal then on another sister. And that's Rachmana Lusan, the first sister died. That's the only exception to the rule of Arayas. All the Arayas, they continue even after a marriage is dissolved. So normally, if a person marries a certain woman, then they get divorced or something happens. So then the mother-in-law still remains also to him, even though the wife had passed away. In any event, the din is by the sister that doesn't apply. Rahman al-Islam, if a sister passes away, then you are allowed to marry the other sister. So here, people would mistakenly think that the sister who's still alive actually was married, the Ketana who received the Kiddushin actually was married, and therefore, ain't Kiddushin tosin b'achosa. So that when the husband now gives Kiddushin to the second sister, everyone will say, no, it's nachal, and this woman's not a married woman. And somebody else will give her Kiddushin and marry her. But in fact, maybe she really wasn't married to the first husband, and therefore the Kiddushin could be chal on this second sister, and therefore when she receives the Kiddushin, she is married, and it isn't the case of ein Kiddushin tosin, b'achosa. They are the Kiddushin or tosin, because it's not really a case of marrying the achosa. And therefore, it could lead to a terrible kilkel. And therefore, make dur miyun. Once you do miyun, everyone will say, oh, it wasn't a real marriage. And therefore, the Kiddushin could be tosin on her sister, and therefore, it wouldn't lead to a takala. So that's why both Rav and Shmuel said, do both gittin and miyun. Now, along comes Rav Nachman, and he qualifies this statement of Rav and Shmuel. Amar Rav Nachman, the only time that we're concerned that you have to do miyun and you have to do a get is v'hu sheshidchu. That's when the father had already been having discussions with his prospective suitor, with the prospective husband, about marrying off his daughter. So in this situation, where there were previous discussions, then when he gives Kiddushin to the daughter, we have to be choshesh that maybe the father really wanted this, but we also have to be choshesh maybe the father didn't want it, and therefore you have to do a get and mion for the reasons that we mentioned. But it's only, Rav Nachman says, in a case where they were previously in discussions, there was a negotiation already going on about this marriage. But if there wasn't any such negotiation, a guy randomly came up to a young girl and gave her Kiddushin, so then even Rav and Shmuel would say there is no requirement for get or mion. The Kiddushin in this Ketana have zero effect whatsoever, and there's no potential for Takala because they were never talking about the Shidduch here, and everybody knows that the Ketana can't accept Kiddushin. Now, Ula comes along and says another qualification. Ula mar afilu miyun enu tzricha. Ula says in this situation where the Ketana accepts Kiddushin on her own behalf, you don't need a get, and you don't even need miyun. Now, Gemara says, is this true? Is Ula saying this under all circumstances, bein whether there was no discussion, or even if there was a discussion about Shiduchin, did Ula say, even in this situation, she doesn't require a get or miyun? Is that really true? That can't be. It's impossible. How can anybody say that if they're talking about Shiduchin, that there wouldn't be a chashash over here, and you'd have to have miyun and a get? So therefore, the Gemara says, man demasneha, lo masneha, that if you hold like Reb Nachman, that it's talking about who shishidchu, so then Ula couldn't have made a statement. And if Ula did make a statement, then obviously it can't be that Rav Nachman made his statement. These two statements are mutually contradictory to each other, and therefore both can't be correct. So if Rav Nachman made a statement, then Ula couldn't have made a statement. If Ula made a statement, then Rav Nachman couldn't have made his statement. There's no way that they can be mutually correct. Now, the Gemara says an alternate answer is that Ula made a totally independent statement. Ika di Amre, Ula said totally on his own. Amar Ula, Kitana Shiniskacha Shalola Da Savia, Afilu Miyun Eino Tzricha. If a girl gets married, she accepts Kiddushin, the Kitana, without the permission of her father, without her father knowing about it, so then you don't need a get, and you don't even need miyun. Afilu miyun ein tzricha. And had nothing to do with Rav Nachman. He never heard Rav Nachman's statement, and had nothing to do with Rav Nachman. Ula made an independent statement on his own. Now, according to this understanding of Ula, that even if they were talking about Shiduchin, even if there had previously been discussions, bottom line is, if the father didn't say, yes, I wanted you to accept the Kiddushin, so then if the daughter, the Ketana, accepts the Kiddushin, you don't need a get, you don't even need miyun. So on this sheet of Ula, Moshe Rav Kana asks the following question. The Chulon Imesu, the famous first Mishnah in Yevamos, the start of this beautiful Seder of Noshim, which we're very coming to the very end of Kiddushin, which ends off Seder Noshim. So Rav Kana says in that very first Mishnah of Yevamos, where we have the 15 classical Yevamos that are Tsaros. So you have in that situation, you remind ourselves that you had two wives, and Nebuch, the husband, passed away, and the husband never had children with either of them. So they both fall to Yibam. And the Yavam can pick one of them to do Yibam or one of them to do Chalitza. Now, what happens if one of them is one of those 15 wives that it's forbidden for that wife to marry? So let's say it was Reuven married his niece. So now Shimon's daughter is his wife and also somebody else. And then Reuven dies. So now Shimon's daughter falls to Shimon in Yibam, as well as the other wife. So since Shimon can't do Yibam with his own daughter, so then there is no mitzvah of Yibam. So that's the first Mishnah in Yevamos. So the Chulon, in all of these situations, even though the daughter of Shimon was married to Reuven, but if she died, the Chulon in Mesu, if she died before Reuven died, or Omiyano, it was a Kiddushei Ketana, and she did Miyun before Reuven died, so there is no marriage between her and Reuven, so therefore Shimon no longer has an erva in the case of either Imesu, if Nebuch the daughter died, or Mianu, if she did Miyun. Oh, Niskarshu, or Reuven divorced his niece. Oh, she named two islands, or it turns out that she wasn't capable of being married because she's an islandess, and an islandess is a Mekach Tos, and therefore the marriage doesn't take effect. So therefore, in all of these situations, there aren't two wives. At the time of Reuven's death, there's only one wife, the wife who has no problems in becoming a Yevama to Shimon. So in this situation, Tsarosei Mutaros, the other wife, would be permissible for Shimon to do Yibam with. Now, what exactly is the case? Here's the question, the Kitshaman. What Kiddushin did this young girl get? We're talking here about a Ketana because we're talking about Miyun. Now, what was the Kiddushin? Ilema the Kitshavia, if her father gave her over in Kiddushin, so Miyun won't work. But Miyun Sagila, would Miyun work? No. The father married her off on a Daraisa level. So therefore, you could never have Miyun. So what case are we talking about? Get Ma'aya boy if the father married her off. Ah, Ella, mustn't it be? La, the Kidsha Ihi Nafsha. Aren't we talking about a case where she accepted Kiddushin for herself as a Ketana? and the Ketani the Boya Mian. And the Mishnah says she could do Mian in that situation to remove herself from that marriage. Now, Ula had said that under no circumstances should she ever require Mian if she accepted Kedushin herself. This Mishnah in Yevamo seems to disprove Ula. So Gemara says, no. Humosiv la, fumafar kla. Rav Kana asked this question, but he himself gave the answer. He says, Kigon shenas lo maisa yesoma b'chaya ab. You know what happened over here? The father married her off to another person, midaraisa. And that person died or divorced her, and she is now migureshes, and she is a pnuya kitana on a deraisa level. But the father no longer has the right to go and marry her off anymore. And in a situation like this, we call her a yesoma b'chaye avia. She is considered like an orphan in her father's lifetime because her father can't marry her off. He lost that by marrying her off to the first person and then her getting divorced or Nebuch becoming an almana. But she's a ketana. So there is kiddushe ketana that we can do over here, midirabanan. Just like if the father really dies, the mother or the older brothers can marry her off midirabanan and then she can do miyun. So even though the father is alive now, but since he can't marry her off on a deraisa level, he also has the right to marry her off on a derabanan level, but she can do miyun. And that's how Rav Kahana answered his own question. We're dealing here, Kagon Shinasala Maisa Yesoma Bechayav. She's like a Yesoma Bechayav, and that the father married her off midirabanan, and that's why she could do Mian. Normally, you're right. The father marries her off. It's the right, so a Mian wouldn't be enough. Get would be required. But here, since it was only a Kiddushi Derabanan, so therefore Mian is enough, and that's what the Mishnah is talking about, and therefore it doesn't contradict Ula. And Ula's din, that under normal circumstances, if the Ketana goes and accepts Kiddushin, it's nothing. She doesn't require get, she doesn't require Mian. But here, there is a requirement for Mian because she was married off midirabanan, as opposed to a ketana who can't even marry herself off midirabanan, according to Ula. Still another kasha on Ula. Masiv Rav Abnuna. Rav Abnuna asks on Ula, are you telling me really that a ketana doesn't require even Mian? So how do you understand the following brisa? The brisa says that you're not allowed to go and sell your daughter as an Amah Evriyah, Ein Mochim Likrovim. You shouldn't sell. The Tanakhama, the brisa says, you shouldn't sell your daughter to somebody that can't marry her. The whole purpose of selling an Amah Evriyah, your daughter to be an Amah Evriyah, is for the purposes of Yir, that she should get married. So don't sell it to somebody that she can't marry. That's the Tanakhama's opinion. However, Mishum Rabbi Elazar Amru, Mochim Likrovim. Rabbi Elazar says, no, there are two purposes over here. One is to help support her as Amah Evriyah, because the father can't support her. And no, if it leads to marriage, that's two. Very good. But if it doesn't, that's okay also to just sell her as an Amah Evriyah, not for marriage purposes, not for Yud purposes. So Rav Elazar disagrees with Tanakhama. Tanakhama says, you only sell her to a person that can marry her. Whereas Rav Elazar says, you can sell her to a person who can marry her, but you're also allowed to sell her to Krovim that cannot marry her. Now, we turn to Memhei Amud Aleph. Vishavin, both the Tanakhama and Rabbi Elazar agree, Shemokhin Amana L'Koin Godel, that you would be allowed to go and sell your daughter who's an Amana L'Koin Godel. We'll have to ask in a moment, how did the daughter become an Amana that the father's able to sell her? So, Vishavin, both the Tanakhama and Rabbi Elazar agree that you are allowed to sell an Amana to a Koin Godel, because even though they're not supposed to get married, the Kedusha will be Chal. And likewise, a Gerusha of a Chalutza L'Koin Hedjot. If she was a Gerusha of a Chalutza and now she's going to marry a Koin Hedjot, so that wouldn't be allowed, but the Kedusha will be Chal. So in that situation, even the Tanakhama holds that you'd be allowed to go and sell the Amon L'Koin Gadol or the Grusha Chuluz L'Koin Hedjet. Now, Hay Amon Hechidami, how could this girl be an Amona? After all, if you're going to tell me that the father married her off and that's how she became an Amona, so then the father can't sell her. Ilema the kid Shavia, the father was Mekadishur in the first place, and he married her off, and now she became an Amona, the husband died, so then Mi Matzim is Adonlaw, then the father shouldn't be able to go and sell her. After all, we have the rule, the father can't go sell his daughter after she was a married woman. He can't go and sell her to be an Amoha Evriya. So that can't be the way that she was an Amona. Ah, let us slug up Ula and say, Elalab de Kodesh Inasha. Now she became an Amona. She accepted Kedushin on her own behalf, and then the person who gave her the Kedushin died. And the Kokari La Amona, and we call her an Amona. Now here you clearly see that we refer to her as an Amana, so some aspect of the Kedushin took effect. How could you, Ula, say that there is no get, there is no mian, and is absolutely zero if the young girl, the Ketana, accepts Kedushin on her own behalf? This Mishnah seems to say otherwise. So the Gemara says, no. Ula would answer as follows. Amar Rav Amram, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Rav Amram says the name Rav Yitzchak, Hacha b'Kedusha Yiyud. We're dealing over here with Kedushin that was given through Yiyud. However, that the father sold his daughter to be an Amo of Ria. However, the Aliba de Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. But when the father sells her the first time or the second time, he's going in accord with the opinion of Yosef Yehuda. What is the opinion of Yosef Yehuda? The Amar Mos Harishonos Lav Lekidusha Nitnu. So the father sold her over here for the purposes of Yehud. However, that money that was given over to him is not called Kesef Kiddushin, according to the opinion of Yosef Yehuda. You know when this girl is considered married? When she is released from having to work the remainder of the year. So let's say she worked for 3 years, and then he says, okay, with the remainder of the money that you're supposed to work for me for 3 years, I'm releasing you from that debt, so to say, and that is now your Kiddushin that you're accepting. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, the father never really technically married her off. The yid took effect, but the father isn't considered the one that sold her and married her off. And therefore, in this situation, the mos harishonos lav lekidushin itnu, and it's not considered like the father married her off. And therefore, if she now dies, she's still an almana who's a ketana, but the father never married her off. And this isn't considered adam mochar esbito l'shivchos achar ishus. So therefore, the father does have the right to sell her a second time, and that's what we're referring to over here. How could the father sell this almana l'kohen gadol? It's because the first marriage was one of yid, and it isn't considered that the father therefore sold her, according to the opinion of Yosef Yehuda, and therefore the father could sell her a second time in Nebuch if she became an almana. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's shir. I want to again wish everybody a good gebench dior, a kesiva v'chasima tova. I'm dictating this, as I said, on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Mietz Hashem, we shall all be zocha to continue learning the daf together for many, many cycles to come. Kol tov to all, a good gebench dior.